Let's pray. We're going to need God's help. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you are our Father. You are our Father who is in heaven. You're the one who loves us dearly. But you are the one who we were singing of just a little earlier, who is majestic in your holiness and your righteousness. And so we pray, as you promise to meet with us as we gather in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and do the business that needs to be done in us, that the kingdom might flow through us, we pray. And we ask that for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, I need your help down the front. I'll let you sit on the seats. It's a bit comfier on the seats, isn't it? Yeah. That's good. Thanks for that. And Zoe's doing very well here by herself. Excellent. Glad. Everyone, give me a glad face. In case you're wondering. Some of you are not too sure. What's the next one? Sad. Someone give us a sad face. Yeah, that's good. Oh, yes. Very good. Excellent sad face. Oh, that's distressing. That's not just sad. That's distressing. What's the next one? Mad. All the dads, give us a mad face. Yes, John Rosenzweig is very well practiced at that. Some of you are still stuck on glad. Get with the program, all right? We're up to mad now. Get the mad thing on. And then the final one is scared. That's a bit, oh, yeah, scared. Now, here's my question for us today. Let's get rid of those two. Here's my question, and I'll start here. My question for us today is, can you be that and that at the same time? Can you be glad and scared at the same time? Can you be happy and afraid at the same time? It's a bit of an interesting question, isn't it? When was the last time you were glad? Who can give us an answer to that? Anyone here, when were you glad? When was the last time you were glad? Think of a time when you were glad. Anyone think of any time you're glad? Yep. Oh, Lucy, did Lucy have a sleepover at your place? And then I get glad. That was awesome. Can anyone remember the last time you were scared? When have you been? Anyone been scared recently? Yes. Yes.
Well, it is recently, but when I was
in Bali, chased by a dog. Chased by a dog in Bali, is that right? If I was in Bali being chased by a dog, I reckon I'd be pretty worried as well. Those Indonesian dogs, Indonesian street dogs, you've got to watch them. Okay, so that's where we're up to. Now, here's the thing. The psalm that we just read, we've been working our way through the songs of ascents, and we're up to Psalm 128. And Psalm 128, if you are listening carefully, the girls did a great job reading it. Psalm 128 tells us that the happiest people are people who fear God. So the happiest people are people who are somehow even scared to some extent of God. Let me remind you what it actually said. It actually says, blessed or happy are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. We'll get to the rest of that in a minute. Now, that I find pretty interesting, because I would have thought the happiest people are the people who get the best presents at Christmas. I would have thought the happiest people would have been the people who get the best marks in the HSC. Who's hoping for good marks in the HSC? Anyone? Yep. I would have thought... best mark in the HSC, that'd be a great, they're going to be the happiest. Or the people who get to go on the best holidays. Who's looking forward to the best holiday they've ever had in their lives? Walls of Jerusalem, yes. So I would have thought they would have been the happiest people, but that's not what Psalm 128 says. Psalm 128 says that the happiest people are people who fear the Lord. And I guess what the Bible is saying, that to be all caught up with getting the best presents or getting the best marks or going the best holidays, that's actually too small. You're thinking way too small if you're thinking that that's what it means to be the happiest and that's what will make you the happiest. The happiest people are not the people who get the most or get the best stuff. The happiest people are people who are carrying something rich within the whole of their lives. And the Bible actually calls that rich thing, that thing that enriches your life, calls it the fear of the Lord. Happy people have the fear of the Lord. So we're going to have a bit of a look at what that is. We're going to find that happy people do four things. And strangely enough, they begin with F, E, A, and R. So let's have a look at the first one. What is it? Someone read this out for us. Everybody read it out for me. So happy people
follow God's way.
So you guys got pens and pencil, and you got your, and there's, I think there are, there's bribery and corruption up here for anyone who can fill the whole sheet out, right? So that's, we're just doing whatever it takes this morning. It's great. Okay, so happy people. Here's the thing. Happy people follow God's way. Now what it says is, what the verse actually says is, blessed or happy are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. We talk these days about walking the way of Jesus. Happy people follow God's way. So we want to live like Jesus lived, and we want to love like Jesus loved. So when Jesus met people, it was really interesting. And now I need some help. Have you got that done yet? Okay, pop that down. I need, how many people do I need? Four. I need five people. One, two, three, four, five. Yep, let's go. Who'd like to be Jesus? Of course you would. Yeah. I would expect every hand to go up at that point. We all want to be like Jesus. So Jesus, you're back out there a bit. Eden, there you go. You can hold this one. Come over here and hold it up so we can read it over here. Sorry, Eden, in front of me, honey. Just so facing the front there. That's great. Well done. Let's see you next. Come on, let's go. There you go, Noah, spin around, hold it like that. And you hold that one. I think you might have to flip it down in the end. What do we got here? Can anyone see that? I think we might have them on the screen as well. Let's come down and have a look. So Jesus is coming along. Who are you?
Jesus,
of course you are. So Jesus is coming along. Hold the first one up. And he says to Peter and to some other dudes who were fishing or something. What does he say? That's you. You don't need to read that bit. Just read what he says.
Follow me.
Yep. And?
And I will send you out to fish for people.
Okay, come follow me. And what happened? Well, they started following. Yeah? Okay, next, who did he get up to next? He got up to a guy called Levi. What did he say to Levi?
Follow me.
He said to Levi, follow me. Levi was a tax collector. Levi joined in as well. Who's this? And then he said to lots and lots of people, hold it up nice and tall. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and?
Follow me.
Come on, join in. You're going to come or not? Okay. Jesus looked at him. Now this was the rich young ruler. He looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven then. You going to or not? He wasn't too sure, was he? I think he had to go away and think about it. And hopefully he did later on, okay? So follow, 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 follow. Back to your seats. Well done. Give him a clap. Now, it's actually really important that we see that because the point of it is this. When Jesus was walking the planet, he didn't just walk around saying, believe in me, believe in me, believe in me, believe in me. What he did, he walked around saying, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. He walked around saying, live the way I live, love the way I love. That's what he said. One of the things I love about the Bible is the Bible knows that we live really, really messy lives. So in the Old Testament, we have the Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, we have the Beatitudes where Jesus just cranks up the Ten Commandments on steroids, you know? And he knows, Jesus knows, that we're going to be walking around. There's some people that are just going to annoy us so much, we just want to belt them. He knows that that will be the case, and so he has something to say about that. He knows that some people have something or someone that we would really like, and we just want to take it, him, her, for ourselves. And the Bible speaks to that mess, the messiness that goes on in our lives. So Jesus is saying, not just believe in me, he says, follow me. Here's the trick though, we don't wake up one morning and go, you know, from now on I'm just going to copy everything that Jesus does. Anyone ever tried that? Come on, some of you have given it a shot. How'd you go? How long did you last? Till morning tea time? You know. What we realize is we just don't have it in us to be a copy of Jesus. And so that's why Jesus says, follow me, come and hang out with me. Now, let me tell you, there was an old Jewish saying, and the Jewish saying was this, may you be covered in your rabbi's dust. Isn't that a beautiful saying? May you be covered in your rabbi's dust. So when Jesus was saying to people, follow me, he was saying what every rabbi said. Every rabbi would hang out with some people, and the rabbis were like the uber smart people of the day, and people would want to be their disciple. They'd want to be their apprentice. And so eventually a rabbi would check you out and go, have you done, you know, have you done all the Torah study that you need to do, Ed? Have you done, have you memorized the whole of the Old Testament? You know, you memorized all of that? When you've done that, I might let you follow me. I might invite you to follow me. Who did Jesus invite to follow him? Everyone. Everyone and anyone was invited to follow Jesus. You didn't have to be uber smart. You had to be someone who was willing to follow Jesus. And what would happen is you would then follow. You'd get in track. You'd hang out with your rabbi 24/7. You'd be learning from them, sitting at their feet, learning from them. You'd be catching even their mannerisms you would catch from them. You'd be learning, how did they live? How did they love? How did they pray to God? How did they hang out with people? And so the more we hang out with our rabbi, and the idea was you actually got so close to your rabbi on dusty dirt roads, you were so close to your rabbi that by the end of the day you were covered in his dust. Blessed, 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 happy, happy, happy. You got that? But that's the invitation. The invitation is, oh yeah, I believe in you, catch you later, Jesus. It's to follow him. Happy people follow God's way. Have you got that on the back of the sheet? You've written that one down? We're ready to move on to the next one. What do you think? Are we ready? We're ready? How are you going, Zoe? All good? Good? Thumbs up? Fantastic. You're so good. Next one is, what do you think this might be? Any guess? Someone want to guess it? What do you think? Enjoy. Enjoy God's gifts. Let me move back so I can actually read it. Where are we up to? I've lost my notes completely. Here it is, Psalm 128. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. So first of all, let's talk about the fruit of your labor first. We've got some presents here. Does anyone have chooks? Chickens?
Yes.
Come on, out you come. Does anyone grow their own veggies?
Me?
Oh. Who grows their own veggies? Yeah, come on, Noah. Yeah, come on. Oh! Okay, over there. There we go. That'll do. All right. So what you got? So what is... You okay, mate? Is that you're all right? You just hold it there. Just hold it above your head. No, hold it down. That's it. You got it like that? Well done. You hold on to it, mate. You make sure you don't lose it. Now, fruit of your labor is the things that you earn by what you do. So you look up, do you look after the chooks? Who feeds the chooks at your place?
Me.
You do. So you get the eggs, is that right?
Yeah.
We cheat a little bit. We get the eggs from the chook next door that comes and lays its eggs underneath our plant. Cost us. So that's a bit cheeky. That's not really the fruit of our labor, is it? Because we haven't done any labor. Do you look after the veggies? Do you help look? Do you water them sometimes? Oh, yeah, I bet you do. Yeah, so fruit of your labor. Now, here's some other things, though. Did anyone earn an award at school this year? Anyone earn an award at school this year? Yeah, some of you have earned awards at school. Anyone pass any exams at school this year? Any exams at all? You know, the turn up and be a nice person exam, you know? Anyone learn to play a sport this year? Yeah? Anyone get a job this year?
Oh, yes.
Yay! Well done. Anyone earn some money this year? Anyone get a raise this year? I'm hoping for next year. It all depends on whether you pass the budget. So happy people, here it is. Happy people enjoy God's gifts. The happiest people are people who know that even when they've done all that cool stuff that they've done, even when they've got really good marks, even when they've grown really humongous pumpkins. Are you going all right? Do you want a bit of a break? Or are you okay?
No.
A bit of a break? Okay, pop it down the ground. three times. No, that'll do. That's okay. That's all right. So even if you've scored a goal at footy or you've won an award at school or anything like that, happy people know that the ability to do those things was given to them by God. God's the one who enables us to do those things. Thanks heaps. If you want to pop those down, just pop it there. That'd be great. Yeah, that's good. Just there's good. Yeah, just. Move along. Now, as you grow older, there's other gifts. So you might get a job. We've already mentioned that. Or you might get a job that you really enjoy, or you might get to serve in church. You might get to teach kids church, or you might help out at kids club, or you might help out with Need to Feed. I saw Josh on the Need to Feed coffee van the other day. You might serve out there in the community as well. And the fruit of your labor then is not necessarily money. The fruit of your labor is that shot of affirmation. Yeah, that's my love in action, God says. Who's felt that? When God, you just had that shot of affirmation from the Father that's his love in action as we serve and care for other people. That's also the fruit of our labor, I reckon. But then there's other things that might happen as we get older. We might get married to someone who's going to be a fruitful vine within your house. So I guess that means... That's clever of you. Oh, here's another one. Oh, my goodness. How many are there? Oh, no. Oh, strike. That's way too many. But not quite so fruitful, thank you. Okay. So fruitful vine. So you might be married to someone who you love, and what's even more surprising is you find someone who's prepared to love you. Isn't that the big shock? Isn't that the shock? Anyone in that situation, you just go, seriously, there's someone that loves me. That's just astounding that could be the case. That's amazing. And then what happens is this. Now, what I mean by this is the reason I have this is, does anyone remember, has anyone got a Bible open? The children are mentioned in the Bible in two, there's two different descriptions of them. Last week, Psalm 127 described children as arrows. That's right. Hey! You're right. Yeah. I don't know why children are called that. And the other thing that children are called is, I guess it meant, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. And the other thing that children are called is olive shoots. They're called olive shoots. Now, I don't have an olive tree. Someone promised me one, but that Bob, you promised us an olive tree about 4 years ago. Still growing. Well done. Well done. But what we do have is Dave Bartlett made us this strawberry. Do you see the strawberry there? And there's, do you see the strawberry in under there? So Dave, where's Dave? Dave, they've actually been, this year we've got strawberries, lots of juicy strawberries. The chicken seems to keep away from the strawberries. Now, what I find that's really cool about these is they reproduce by sending shoots out, don't they? And so we've now got strawberries growing along our fence line here that have somehow come from this and gone down there. So we have kids who spread, take over the world, and spread out from us and delight us. And the last line, someone want to read out the last line of Psalm 128? What's the last line say?
They will not be put to shame when they
continue their... 128, that's 127.
May you live to see your children's children.
How cool is that? Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Okay. So enjoying God's gifts, that's one thing. Now, I've got to say something at that point. There's something that's really sad when God's gifts, whether it's work or whether it's someone who loves you or whether it's family or all of the many, 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 many gifts that God gives us, when we forget that it's a gift from God and when it actually becomes God, you know, when it becomes the center of our life, when our job becomes the center of our life, when our sport becomes the center of our life, when our family becomes the center of our life. They were never meant to carry that much weight. And when we try to put that much expectation on them, they become very demanding gods. Anyone notice that? They become controlling. They control us when they were meant to be a gift from God that delights us. So people who are happy people, they follow God's way, and following God's way means that they enjoy God's gifts without mistaking God's gifts as God's. Okay? That's really important, I think. Where are we up to? Where are we going? Oh, I forgot about these. Yeah. Now, because we're in danger of forgetting that, God's given us a church family, hasn't he? Jesus created the church, and the church is his family. And so we've got the $2.50 club here. Oh, just own it a little bit, will ya? Do we have the $2.50 club?
Yeah.
What do you have to do to belong to the $2.50 club?
Old?
That's right. All you got to do is you just age into this one. You just age into this. You get old enough that it only costs you $2.50 every time you get in the train. How good is that? Doesn't matter how far you go, $2.50. Is that good?
Yeah.
They think it's so good they form their own club, okay? Okay, so and then sometimes these blokes who are Prezi blokes, there are Prezi blokes here. Now, I'm told that sometimes the Prezi blokes and the $2.50 club go on the same train but never on the same carriage. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm having both sides of that argument tell me that's correct. Was anyone Gingerbread House on Thursday night? Yay! Well done. Had a good time. Anyone go to the camp? Youth camp? Who went to the youth camp? Well done. Anyone went to Kids Fun Day this year? Who was involved in Kids Fun Day? And then you have these crazy people who climb mountains 20 times. I mean, just to remind us that it takes all sorts to be part of the loving church family that we are. But what we have is people who are little and people who are mid-sized and people who are bigger and older, all showing us what it looks like to live like Jesus and to love like Jesus. Because it is as much caught as it is taught. That's why we need each other, and that's why we need intergenerational church, which we learned about early on. What are we up to? Awestruck. I wonder if you were going to guess that one. So happy people follow God's way, happy people enjoy God's gift, and happy people are awestruck at God's greatness. Now, I asked you earlier, can you be glad and scared at the same time? And I think the answer to that is yes. Awestruck means kind of afraid, but more than that. Kind of scared, but more than that. I think it is. I remember being, Sue and I like to go bushwalking, and I remember we were down in the snowy mountains, and we were trying to climb all of the 10 highest mountains in Australia. We're trying to climb all of them in about four or five days. And we only got up 6 of them. We didn't get up all 10 that particular year. We did the rest the next year. One of the reasons we didn't get up them all is because we got to the top of one mountain. It's called Mount Northcote. Now, can I say it's a pretty disappointing mountain. You just walk to the top of this hill and, oh, there's a little pile of stones. And you know, oh, we're there. We're on top of Mount Northcote. And then you walk down the other side. The thing that made it a little bit exciting was we were very keen, or at least one of us was very keen, to get to the top of this mountain so we could say that we'd been to the top of the mountain, despite the fact that there was a great storm rolling in from the west. And just as we got to the top, the storm arrived, kind of over the top of us. And when you're up in the snowy mountain, there's no trees up there to hide behind, there's no rocks to hide behind. You're just out there in the open. And we started walking down the other side, and then the storm just cut loose, and it started hailing on us, thunder, lightning, very, very frightening. And one of us was kind of not enjoying it, and one of us was just exhilarating in the experience. She's strange like that. She doesn't understand. She doesn't understand how you could possibly enjoy being scared and what's exhilarant? Is that no accelerant? No, what's the word I'm looking for? Exhilaration and terror can coexist with one another. She doesn't get how those two. But anyone who's been out in a big surf gets it, don't you? Is that right? You know what it is to be terrified, but also, oh, so alive at exactly the same time. I mean, the other time I've been like that is a couple of years ago when I turned 40. The church family, as it was back then, thought that they would bless me. So a number of them paid for me to have a parachute jump. I've always wondered what they were really trying to say. Ed, I've always wondered. He's not denying anything. So they bought me a parachute jump. So one of the most exhilarating times I've ever had is being outside a plane while it's up in the air. Because the way you did this parachute jump is you came out the door and then you slid along outside holding onto a bar. So you're up in the air and it was just, and I'm terrified and I'm just, this is awesome! All at the same time. Can you be scared and glad at the same time? Absolutely you can. And what the Bible teaches is the other place that that can happen is church. Church is a really, really dangerous place. In fact, I need help. Yes, let's go, Josh. Now you come. Let's go. Quick, mate. Let's go. Can you put this on? In fact, I'm starting to think, I want to have a chat to the elders. I actually think that we should be putting this sort of gear on. You shouldn't just get a Bible as you come into church or a pen or a weekly sheet. You also need this sort of gear when you come into church. Yes, mate. You got it? There you go. We should have that. We should have this. Why is that? Let me tell you some stories. You see, we have so shrunk God down to being a tame version of what he is that we've forgotten who God is. We've forgotten that stepping into this place is incredibly dangerous. We've forgotten that every time you open up the Bible, it's an incredibly dangerous thing to do because your world might be turned inside out and upside down. So back in the Old Testament, the two sons of Aaron, who was Aaron? Yeah, Moses' brother, the first high priest, you know? So the sons of Aaron, Levi, those dudes, the first two sons, they went to church one day and they died. They died because they disobeyed God. They died. There was one time when Dave, King Dave, and some of his mates were trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant to church, you know? And instead of doing what God had told them to do, which is carry it, they put it on a cart. And guess what? The cart hit a rock and it started to get the wobble. So what did one guy do? What would any of us do? What would you do? You put your hand out and stop it from falling over. Guess what happened? He died. And we think, oh, that's just Old Testament God, but New Testament, you know, the new version, you know, the friendly version of God, he wouldn't be like that. Well, ask Ananias and Sapphira. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They turn up to church, they lie to God, they lie to the apostles. What happens? They die. Ask the church in Corinth. Paul writes the church in Corinth and Paul says, you know, some of you guys have fallen asleep. And he's not talking about Norma at 8 o'clock church or Ant. Or and at 5 o'clock church, you know? He's not talking about that. And then if you turn to the book of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, Jesus says to one church, you guys are lukewarm, you're not hot, you're not cold. I just want to spit you out of my mouth. Okay? She's doing great, mate. So this guy's all set. This guy is much better dressed for the dangerous place that this is, except none of this is going to help you, will it? So you better put it down then. What are you carrying that stuff for? That's not going to help you at all. Thanks, Josh. Good on you, mate. Danger. Why? Yeah, down you go. Yeah. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a consuming fire. And there are those moments in our lives when we are rightly awestruck by the reality of who he is. Happy people are people who follow God's ways, enjoy God's gifts, are awestruck at God's greatness. And then wrapping it up, we've got a couple of these. Can anyone remember where this comes from? Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And later on, they remember what else had been told to them then. He'll be coming and going, he had said. One day you'll see him, another you won't. He doesn't like being tied down. Of course, he has other countries to attend to. It's quite all right. He'll often drop in, only you mustn't press him. He's wild, you know, not like a tame lion. Where's it from? Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's right. We do not have a God who is a tame lion. Now, let's move on. Okay, last one. Last one. What do you think it is?
Rely.
Rely on God's goodness. Happy people, rely on God's goodness. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Now, we often say to people, bless you when they sneeze, or may you have a good day, or I hope you get better. We use wish and bless and hope and all those words, and we're not too sure exactly what we mean by them. So I love that the Bible is really, really clear about who it is that does all that behind the scenes stuff. And of course, it's God. God who cares for us. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord prosper his people all the days of your life. May the Lord help you to see your children's children. So the happy people who fear God also rely on his goodness. Now, kids, do your dad or your mum ever play scary monsters with you? Do your parent, your mum or your dad ever chase you around the house and pretend to be a scary monster? Some of your parents are scary monsters. They don't need to... I get that. Okay. The cap fits. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe it's your dad and chasing you, about a scary monster, he's got the scary voice on, he's doing big scary, and he chases you into a corner, and there you are, but you know it's your dad. What's the best thing to do if you're in a corner and you're really, really scared? What's the best thing to do right then? The best thing to do, of course, is to turn around and run straight into his arms, isn't it? That's the best thing to do. Run straight into his arms and call him daddy. That's the best thing to do. So we rely on God's goodness. Now, we had a second reading that, you know, you may not have expected to have today, because it's a pretty heavy reading. We looked at it a couple of weeks back. Jesus said this. Jesus said all the tough stuff in the Bible. Can I say that? Jesus said all the toughest stuff in the Bible. We turn Jesus into a bit of a wuss as well, just like we've done to God. Luke 12 verse 4, I tell you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more, but I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after your body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Whoa, that's heavy. Yeah, I tell you, fear him. But listen to what he says straight after that. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? I remember that was a moment when I read that verse, particularly on the back of the other verse. When I read that verse, there was one of those awestruck about God moments when I thought, far out, how many birds have there been since the beginning of creation and yet not one of them is forgotten? What sort of God carries the memory of every bird ever created in his mind? What God can do that? Not just the God who can cast stars and galaxies into the cosmos, but who remembers every single bird who has ever existed, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. And then, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. We need to somehow hold in tension that he is a great and awesome God, and we must fear him, and we must fear disappointing him. We must fear him so that we love what he loves and hate what he hates, because then we'll be happy, the scripture says. Then we'll be happy. But we need to remember that he is good, 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 good and generous to us. And every hair remaining on our heads is numbered by him. He cares for us. He cares for us. Let's have a look. Can we remember them all? Happy people. Happy people. Happy people are... And happy people, that is exactly right. Will we thank him for that? And then we're going to have Lord's Supper, which is a great way to remember that he is great and that he is good. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you teach us about the Father. We thank you that you teach us of the Father's holiness, and your cross reminds us how seriously God takes our choices, the consequences of our decisions. The good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives are significant in the eyes of God, so significant that only the cross could reconcile us to a holy God. And yet, Father God willingly gave his only Son, and you, Lord Jesus, willingly laid down your life, and you, Holy Spirit, willingly take the life of the Lord Jesus and make it our life. The great transaction. He takes our death. We receive his life by you. We worship you. We give you praise. We thank you that your desire for us is that we might know joy, that we might know what it is to live a happy life, that we might know what it is to live a blessed life as those who fear the Lord, with all the richness of what that means, not constantly running terrified, but sometimes very clearly understanding that you are an awesome consuming fire. And you're also our daddy who is in heaven, who loves us dearly. Help us to hold those things in the tension we need to in order to live well and walk the way of Jesus. For his name's sake we pray. Amen. Kids, would you like to go back to your mums and your dads and your carers, please? And then they'll help you with the Lord's Supper. If the elders would like to come out now, that would be good. Thanks for your help. So friends, we're going to have Lord's Supper now. Great opportunity for us to remember that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this, remembering me." So we remember the cost of the friendship that we now have with the God of the universe. God is not a tame lion, and yet a God who is so warm and loving and caring of his children. And so we come. And as we come and take bread, we remember Jesus' body that was given for us. And as we come and as we take some wine, we remember Jesus' blood that was poured out for us, that a new relationship with God might be forged, that we might be children of the living God, that we might be drawn into this family, you know, and this bigger family, and this family that reaches all the way back to the Last Supper, and this family that reaches all the way forward to the second coming. Here we gather as the people of God and join with them in remembering the cost, but also remembering with delight what it is that Jesus has done for us. So let's pray again, and then come as you're ready. Come and grab some bread, some juice, take it back, and then we'll eat and drink together. Lord Jesus, you set us the model of giving thanks, even for your own death. So we give you thanks that you've shown us the Father's love. We give you thanks that you who knew no sin became sin for us. We give you thanks that the one righteous one, was prepared to absorb all of our sin and all of the Father's wrath against our sin, that we might be free to follow him, free to walk after him, free to live like he lives and love like he loves. Holy Spirit, these are just symbols, but we pray that spirit to spirit, this might be a connection with you, the living God, that we might draw from your strength, that we might fill up within us that well of living water, Lord Jesus, that you spoke about, that we might feed from you, even through these symbols, we pray. And we pray that for your glory's sake. Amen. As you're ready, folks, come on down. We'll come down here and then you can go back down the sides.